The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Good evening, Terrans. I'm coming to you live from planet Earth, real Gotham City. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral. Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. All right, I have to apologize at first, guys. I had a guest lined up, James Bartley, and he has a problem with his Skype. Apparently, sometimes I feel like these are forces beyond our control that are doing this, because sometimes when people have important things to say, and sometimes maybe we were getting suppressed by some forces that we don't know about, you know, hurting the airwaves, trying to push down our process of awakening you all. And that's what we're trying to do here at Spiral Radio. First, I want to apologize as well. Last week, I didn't close right. I didn't realize we were coming towards the end of time, and my screen had froze in front of me. So I wasn't getting the messages from my producer, and I didn't get a chance to close. I didn't tell you about the different shows that are coming up after me. And also, my Twitter is at @RA_MUAY, it's at Ra Moy, and I do free readings on people anytime. You can also email me at moontribe712@icloud.com, and I do free readings. Even if it takes me a week to get back to you, I always do free readings on people. I don't believe in charging. So tonight, I want to welcome everybody. This is my first edition of Fallen Angel Fridays. What Fallen Angel Fridays is the last Friday of every month. We cover the long, long, never-ending topic of the fallen angels. And what I'm talking about when I talk about fallen angels is the Watchers. The Watchers that they speak of in ancient texts like the Book of Enoch. They talk about them in the Bible. They talk about them in Hindu Sanskrit. They talk about them in ancient Strega beliefs. They talk about them all over. And basically, what I think and what I believe is that when these Watchers came down, what they call the fallen angels, when they came down, they changed our whole genetic gene pool forever. And, if you look at Zachariah Sitchin's work, Zachariah Sitchin was an author and a dedicated researcher. Okay, he spent his whole, well, not his whole life, but basically probably about 30 years deciphering the ancient cuneiform tablets of Sumeria. Now, these are wedge-shaped style of writing, one of the first styles of writing they've ever found. And he spent his whole career deciphering these tablets. And basically what he uncovered in it, and, you know, I'm starting to believe some of this, maybe he didn't, you know, translate it all true, but I think he's got some of it right. And basically what he talks about is the Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki were beings similar to the beings they talk about as fallen angels. And I believe that these beings are seeds of the serpent. They are not what you believe. Okay, these beings, you know, they might even be called the seraphim or the fallen angels or, you know, not the archons. The archons are something different. But these are all topics that have to do with Fallen Angel Friday. It's never ending. You could, the reptilians, the archons, all fallen angel topics. And that's what I'm going to do on the last Friday of every month, is we're going to have one of those topics. And James, my guest that was supposed to be tonight, maybe he might still come in or not. He has his own show called The Cosmic Switchboard, which is coming up. He was supposed to be here for 40 minutes tonight, and then at 9 he was going to go do his own show. But so I'm just going to talk about Fallen Angels Fridays myself, because I can do it forever. I've been researching this, just like James, for a good 20 years. James has spent 25 years in the industry researching UFOs, abductions. He's an abductee himself, and he worked for the military in an intelligence capacity for a few years. He's been around. He's a protege of Barbara Bartholik and Dr. Carla Turner, who's the late Dr. Carla Turner. And he was, you know, he had a lot to say. And I'm basically going to cover the same topic that he was covering, but my own way. So bear with me, because I'm doing this off the cuff. And first, maybe I want you all to just sit back, relax, and let the Power X Radio Network take all the troubles from today and let them drift away as we talk about the paranormal and the mysteries of Earth and this universe. Now, a good stress reliever and a good way to remove astral debris is to go outside when you get a chance. I was talking to a friend about this the other day on Facebook. They were stressed out, and this is a good reliever, because when we sleep at night, all of us, we pick up astral debris, whether you want to believe it or not, it's true. And we pick up negative energy from other people. In our ancient Strega beliefs, we call it the malocchio. It's called the evil eye, that somebody can just give you a glance on the street and infect you with their evil, negative feelings. And we have a little, you know, little way to relieve that as well. There's a way to tell in ancient Strega lore, you know, and I believe it, there's a way to tell if you really got the evil eye from somebody. And it's if you drop the olive oil into a little cup, and if it separates, you will know that it was either someone who did it intentionally to you, or if it was just you got a sty or some kind of infection in your eye. Anyway, topic I'm talking about to go outside, and for a stress reliever, I don't want to get off what I was saying, is when you get a chance, go outside, find a nice piece of earth, something that hasn't been walked on for a while with dogs and urinated on. Nice little piece of earth. Sit with your legs folded in front of you. And this won't work unless you have love in your heart and you truly believe it. That's with all magic and all everything that has to do with magical practices. If you don't have the love in your heart, you will not succeed. And that's with anything in life. So have the love in your heart and truly believe that this process will work. Sit with your legs folded in front of you, palms down, and imagine that you are really heavy from all the heavy negative energy that you've been collecting, and that you want to be light and free, and that you want to float in the cosmos. So put your palms down and press against the earth, and imagine that your arms are hollow like tubes, and that they're cylinders of light. And you're going to push all that negative energy down deep into the earth. Deep breaths. Push it down deep and get it out of you. And then quickly get up. Say thank you to Mother Earth. and then leave the area and don't return for a few days or several hours until it replenishes itself. After you employ the earth, it will repair itself. So now that we got that out of the way, and I gave you a little technique to remove your astral debris, we can go back to Fallen Angels Friday. So, what I was saying, the Anunnaki. Now, the Book of Enoch talks, they elaborate on Genesis 6. Genesis 6 talk about how the sons of God came down, fallen angels, and they decided to come down onto Mount Hermon. And they state in the Book of Enoch there was 200 of them who disobeyed God. And they decided to make a pact. They saw woman on earth, and they thought they were beautiful. And they wanted to take them as wives, which means to have sex with them. And this was not right. You know, this was against the law. You know, and when they're talking about, you know, these fallen angels came down, these cannot be what we think of as an angel. Because an angel is a spiritual being of light, right? That's what we believe they are, beings of God. How are they a physical being that can have sex and have the same apparatuses that a male and female have? Apparently, they have to have the same kind of things that a male has and female so they can meet with a female human, right? It has to be that. It can't be, you know, how on earth would they be able to have sex with a female? So beings came down from the sky, from another planet. It has to be from somewhere else. It can't be that they're coming from heaven. I think heaven is a translation of the stars and the cosmos. It's just a interpretation. So these beings, they came down on Mount Hermon, and they made a pact, and Semyaza was their leader. And there was the chief of tens. There was 10 generals, I guess, you know, and there was 200 of them all together. And even in I don't have the Book of Enoch right in front of me. It's somewhere around here, but, you know, it states that Semyaza taught them, you know, herbalist stuff and magic, and another taught them, you know, how to use makeup and how to make swords, and they taught them everything. You know, these were beings with high technology and high spiritual, you know, awareness, because, you know, here at Spiral Radio, my goal is to help awaken us all. You know, we can help awaken each other. Little by little, I think that we've been suppressed by society. I think that I know that we are spiritual beings that are encased in physical matter temporarily. And, you know, our society, we are trapped. We are not trapped on this material plane like we think. We can explore our consciousness. We are not limited by our five senses. It goes beyond that. And between our bad diets, society, programming with the TV, everything that's going on, we've been so suppressed that our third eyes have a veil in front of it. You know, we have, you know, in our third eye, it's the pineal gland. And it's like a little sack that looks like a pine cone, hence pineal. And, you know, you need to decalcify that. It gets calcified, and sugar, refined sugar, everything else affects it. And we have, I think society has purposely put a veil over our third eyes to limit our consciousness. And these beings were aware of our consciousness, and they gave it to us. I think, like what they describe in the Anunnaki and Zechariah Sitchin, he describes that these beings came down and they needed gold for their spaceships, basically. Just like NASA uses, you know, and they saw that it needed to be mined. It's like a toil to get the gold from the earth. So they created man. They saw the already evolving primate, the already evolving reptile, used their genes and added their Anunnaki genes to them to create the man, so they can be their slaves, basically, to help mine gold. They were mastered genetic manipulation. They had technology going back, you know, we're going back hundreds of thousands of years now, and they had technology that we're having today. And this is the same thing, I think, that happened to what they say Atlantis. I think it was a misuse of power with Atlantis, and it was their downfall. If you read Madame Blavatsky, she talks about how Atlantis was the whole Mid-Atlantic Ridge, that whole area, and that when Plato or whoever it was that wrote about Atlantis and the three circles, that was just a small part of Atlantis. Like, their civilization was that whole Mid-Atlantic Ridge coming down. And that because of misuse of power and misuse of energy, that was their demise. And it was like in a quick event, maybe like a 2-3 night event, that everything just went down. And, you know, they lost their whole civilization. We don't know our true history. We do not know our true history. There is Atlantis and Lemuria were our two first civilizations that are on record that we can know. This Earth is a memory, a planet, like a living library. It has living, breathing memory. And somewhere we'll be able to access our past and we can finally reveal who we are. So when I'm talking about the fallen angels and the Anunnaki, I think they are the seeds of the serpent. This is not what we think as a fallen angel. These were beings with an agenda, and they needed gold. That's what they talk about in all the Sumerian tablets that he deciphered. And their leader was called Enki. It was just a different name than Sunyaza. So it's the same stories that we talk about in the Bible, but it's just a little more in-depth and different names. Now, their leader, Enki, and Sunyaza can also be compared to the name Lucifer as well. And so is Enki. Enki could be, you could just substitute that for Lucifer. And if you look in all ancient texts, all ancient history, they all have history of these beings. The reptilians, Naga in Hindu, they called their underworld the Patala. It was, you know, the well of Sheshna, which I had a dream about, we could talk about in a few minutes. The well of Sheshna is supposedly this entrance to Patala, which is the underworld of these reptilians. And the well of Sheshna is a well-kept secret in Benares, India. It's beneath a gymnasium. It's not even available to public. It's like if you go inside a gym where people are working out, all of a sudden, you know, it's a secret door in the back. They pull up the carpet and there's an entrance to this well. You cannot get to it. Normal people cannot find it. Only the divine can find it. It's not known about to anyone. And just recently online, it was pictures on David Icke's website not too long ago, or a couple of years ago, with the real well of Sheshna. They had somebody who was able to get, you know, talk to some people, and they were able to go down there. And it's a well-kept secret, and it's an ancient, ancient well. And it has steps going down, and underneath the well, they drain it every 3 years, actually. And they have a ceremony down there, you know, and some of the, you know, the Hindu elders. And at the bottom of the well, when they drain it, there's these huge wooden doors. And they have, you know, cobras on them, you know, warning, this is the entrance for the divine. That celestial hood of the cobra guarding their entrance. So they call them the Naga in India. If you look in Mexico, they call them Viracocha. He was a reptilian-like being. The Anunnaki were reptilian-like beings. China, they call them dragon gods. I mean, everywhere we have lore of these beings. I mean, how can it be? Even the Hopi Indians, when there was a catastrophe on Earth, the Hopi Indians had to go underground to survive. And they talk about ant people and reptile people, lizard people that they saw down there that helped them survive, that they had to worship. And everywhere there's snake worship. Everywhere there was snake worship in ancient times. If you look at the Bible and, like, what's it called? The Apocrypha? Even it reminds me of the story Bell and the Dragon. It's a quick little story in the Apocrypha. But it talks about how right next to Sumeria, the town over, I forget what it was called, Akkad or something like that. Babylon, maybe. Maybe it was Babylon, yes. I think it's Babylon. Anyway, it talks about how Daniel gets caught and he gets thrown in like a jail with hungry lions that they starved forever, you know? And he gets thrown down there. And in this other room next to it is this huge cobra that they're worshiping. And people would put, items for worship and ritual, they would put there for ceremony, you know, for the snake. And every morning it would be gone. Like, and so they're thinking that, oh, the snake god, you know, took all the offerings from us. But what was happening was the priests were going underneath in a trap door and taking the offerings and feed their family. So they throw Daniel in with these hungry lions that they starved for days. And Daniel said that, you know, my God is more powerful than your God. You know, you'll see, you know, I'll be protected. So, you know, they send him in there and he doesn't get eaten. So he comes out and they're like, wow, you know, how did you not get eaten? They're worshiping him. You know, your God must be powerful. And then Daniel showed them, no, you know, like, my God is all powerful, but your God is a fake God. You know, your God is a fake God. Look, they have a trap door. They're going underneath. So then the guy threw the priests in there, and they were devoured by the lions right away. You know, and he saw that it was a false god. And that just goes to show you that snake worship was in that area after the Anunnaki left for thousands of years. So these had to be some kind of snake, reptilian-like beings for that to be there. That whole area, they were worshiping snakes. Where did that come from? It had to have come from some kind of reptile-like creatures. Had to have. There's too much lore about it to be otherwise. And, I mean, this goes deep, this reptilian topic. I mean, if you look to Skateboard Swamp in, I think it's Louisiana or something, this guy Christopher Davis had an encounter in the 1980s when he was changing his tire at 1 a.m. on the side of the road. He was like 19 or 18, and at that time, he was a well-respected kid, hard worker, good family, and he was changing his tire at the side of the ward, at the side of the road, you know, near the Skateboard Swamp. And all of a sudden, he just finished. He was about to leave, and he looked back, and an 8-foot-tall reptilian-like creature was charging at him, like 60 miles an hour, like fast charging at him. He got into the car quick, started driving away. It jumped on his car. Was clawing. He saw claws on the windshield, like claws, you know. And it bit the car. It bit through the metal every way. He was so shaken up. The kid, when he got home, they called the sheriffs. The sheriff came, checked it out, and like they were all in. They believed this kid 100%. There was proof on the car and everything. And he wasn't the only one that saw this reptilian being near the Skateboard Swamp. There was a guy who does crop dusting, a well-respected guy in the area, an older man, and he saw it running by his plane one morning when he was about to take off. Another woman saw when she almost hit it one night with her kid. This was in the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, you could look up Wes Penry. It goes deep, these reptilians, you know, it goes real deep. But like I'm saying, this fallen angel topic is so vast, so in-depth, that we can do this every last Friday. We can have this Fallen Angels Friday. And most of my guests that I will have will be... I've been scouring the earth for all these best guests. They're either authors or ex-military or scientists or whatever. I mean, some shows I won't even have a guest, like tonight. Even if a guest falls through, or I'll do a show by myself, but I've been scouring the earth for the best kind of guests so we can go deep down the spiral. This is Spiral Radio. We'll be back in a few. Spiral out.
See you.
Back, I'm back, it's Ra, and this is Spiral Radio. So join me as we go further down the spiral. If you're just tuning in, I have to apologize. My guest, James Bartley, who's a reptilian expert, he had to have a problem with his Skype for some reason. And it might be forces that we cannot control, people. This is not under our control. We are getting attacked. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, so this is Fallen Angels Fridays, and this is our first Fallen Angel Fridays, which is we go over the huge in-depth topic of the reptilians, the fallen angels, the archons, the seraphim, the whole broad genre of what I consider to be under the fallen angel category, the Anunnaki, all that. All these are considered fallen angels to me. They were talking about the same beings. Now, since our guest fell out and couldn't come in, hopefully we'll get him back another time. But if you're in the chat room, I will do free readings on people if they want to ask. Live readings on air right now. Or if you want to contact me on Twitter, I'm at RA_MUAY. And by the way, I hope you were enjoying that music that we just heard. That is my good friend from Analog Driver. And you can find them on Reverb Nation. That song is called Realms. I hope you were drifting in the cosmos listening to that. He's a great musician. So anyway, like I was saying, I will do free readings on people if they want to contact me. I'm in the chat room right now on Para-X Radio. And I will do a free reading on you live on the air. So, Fallen Angels Fridays. Made me think of the moon just before. And I believe, in fact, I know, the moon is not a natural object. The moon was brought there, ladies and gentlemen. This is a base, an astral base of sorts, if you want to put a name on it. These beings, they brought this moon there as a base for the astral realms. It's like a way station. There, it's too perfect to be natural. This is brought there. It's even hollow. Even when the astronauts landed on it, there was a ringing, like it was hollow. The moon is a base, ladies and gentlemen, is an astral base. So I will do a reading on Yen's High 1369. I'll do a reading on you live right now, and we'll see what comes up. So as I was saying, while I'm shuffling through my cards, talking about the moon. Now the moon, I feel, has been there as a base, an astral base. And you know how, like, when you're astral projecting, sometimes we will see a silver cord. And I feel how this all has to do with our moon. And when people die and they pass on, they have to pass through the lunar realm. This is all has to do with the astral realms. And I believe there is 28 lunar mansions. Okay. You are the map maker of destiny. Let me just get your card here. You know what? I just had an idea. My Aradia cards were calling me when I did that. I'm giving you a different... I'm using a different deck. I just had an idea. Oh, see? And as soon as a card popped out, as soon as I was shuffling through that deck. And it's the shadow card. So, I don't know what your real name is, but that came... CC, is that your real name? So you got the shadow card, CC. And we all have a shadow side. We have to find a balance in all things. And rest is the positive aspect of your shadow, CC. That's like when you would rest in the void or of the dark side of the moon. Some events and people have a long dark shadow over future happiness. Shine a light on your dark situation. Because your shadow actually has strength, CC. The shadow looms dark and the shadow looms long. Its siren call beckons. It sings its seductive song. You may not see it within you. It hides in the blind spot. Behind you, within you. Squeezing your will in a knot. People may run from just the idea of working with their shadow. But our shadow is not always negative. It can be the very aspect of ourselves that makes us unique and wonderful. Even if others do not always appreciate this part of us. Seen from the perspective of the dominant. And dominating culture in which Aradia lived. Aradia could say that as a witch, her shadow was implicit and big. However, this was entirely subjective. The larger society of the time perceived as her dark shadow was both part of Aradia's own power, an aspect of herself. She used this to empower other women. Cece, you could take a lesson from this and examine your own shadow from different perspectives. Doing so can help you be more objective about your shadow side and allow us to distinguish between its positive and negative aspects, the dark and the light aspects. And the dark of the moon is the lunar aspect under which to delve gently and safely into work with your shadow side. And that reminds me of our show on this network, The Shadows. Don't forget about tuning into that show. And tonight, after us, I believe Spirited History goes on. And then after that, My Buddies and Strange Things goes on for 3 hours. So you have the whole night with us, the Para X Network. If anybody else would like a reading, I'm still here. I'm still alive, soothing your ears for another 10 minutes. The ceiling cat. Eric, I see you in the chat room, Eric, and we will have a reading for you right now. I just lit some sage so I can cleanse the deck. Give me a second. Okay, Eric, you got the Dreams card, which is a very powerful card. Dreams are a normal, healthy part of your dream sleep cycle. It is astral realms. It's acknowledging our dream selves can help us both open and deepen our relationship with the divine. Eric, take particular heed of any recurring dreams. And this, I repeat, even if you need to make a log, a dream log, every time you wake up to record it. We live another life under different skies. When we close our eyes at night, there we create our own hell or paradise. A little of us transforms. Every night a little of us dies. And yet upon waking from Diana has blessed a new us in a new guise. In trance magic, practitioners, they achieved what has been referred to as a waking dream state in which the power of intuition and the subconscious rule. Trance magic is a part of many magic traditions around the world. And most witchcraft and shamanism traditions feature rituals to assist reaching the trance state. Trance is neither a sinister hypnotic state nor in any way akin to zombieism. Instead, practitioners reach a state of calm or ecstasy through techniques as varied as chanting, dancing, spinning, drumming, bell ringing, immersion in water, or the ingestion of particular plant medicines. They might also be trained in and out of body travel. This is astral realms when we go to sleep, Eric. What is the trance state? A practitioner might call a channel or spirits, some of whom may be ancestral, some from the realms of the deity. We may never actively seek to enter a trance state or run wildly through the forest like Diana, but our nightly dreams may be the voices of our unconscious mind. Or it might be the God speaking to us. The Strega, we believe the dreams can be prophetic and that recurring dreams in particular should be heeded and take it as a warning. Thanks for listening, Eric, and I appreciate you in the chat room. Oh, Genza 1369, I thought that we did yours. I thought that's what I was done when you got the shadow card. You're saying that you were waiting for your reading, and I did a reading on you, and it was the shadows card. I'm pretty sure that was you. But when I was talking, that made me think when I just did that last reading. It made me think about something, and then I lost my train of thought. Imagine that. Oh, dreams. That's what I was talking about. Dreams. So, the other night, I had a pretty crazy dream. I was talking to Robert Stanley, who is a researcher, as well as an author. And he's written such books as Close Encounters on Capitol Hill, I believe, is one of them. And he's a very dedicated researcher and a good guy and also a musician. And we were chatting on Skype. I was booking him to be a guest for a future Fallen Angel Friday. And that night I had a pretty crazy dream about him. He was sitting there meditating. Now this is in my dream. He was sitting there meditating. And there was this protective aura glow around him. And behind him was someone that he was unaware of. And this man had full military gear on, pins, decorative medals, and all that. And he had these evil, crazy, bushy eyebrows, really crazy, and a really pronounced Widow's Peak. And I heard, he raised his arm and I heard, "Attention! It's time to strike!" Like that. And I told Robert about that dream. And he sent me a few pictures of who he thought it could have been. And then I started looking online. And it ended up being Michael Aquino, with a picture of the guy I was. And that's pretty crazy, because he's a known Satanist. And he worked for our military. And which is amazing to me that a Satanist can be part of our military like that. But he is into snake worship, which ties into our Fallen Angel Friday. And he is part of the Temple of Set, which is draconian magic, ladies and gentlemen. This is the dark side of magic, the black magic. It's all shamanism. It's all shamanism, but it's the dark part of shamanism. Just like voodoo. Some people might not want to think that's shamanism, but it is a form of shamanism, whether you believe it or not. And he's into draconian magic. And there are other people like Michael Kelly, and they put out books of rituals for snake worship. The Temple of Set, and prayers to Apophis, and all stuff like that. It's draconian magic, and it is powerful ancient magic, but it is dark. And there is a price to pay. And these people, you know, they're... I don't know if you've heard of my lab. It's also something that James Bartley is a dedicated expert on. He's been researching it for many years. I have about a few minutes. We have like 9 minutes left, so I can talk about that for a minute. What my lab is military legitimate alien abductions, where it's military working with undercover black ops, also off-world subjects, and they're abducting certain people from the public that they want their genetics and they want their psychic capabilities, and they abduct them to underground installations, and they do tests on them. Sometimes people are never released and never returned. Their memories are wiped, and they're basically some MK Ultra mind programming. And this is what Michael Aquino basically is rumored to be about. And what they do in this is they abduct someone, and I've had experiences like this myself, so it's very, I'm very, you know, sensitive about this topic, because I had, it's too late to talk about that now, but I had an experience. If you go on Grimerica, I was on there. Show recently, they should post it tonight. My life story is on there. Well, some of my life story. I was on End of Days Radio, a few other podcasts where I explain my story, and I'll talk about it in future episodes. But what my labs do is they abduct these people and then they wipe their memories and they do experiments on them. And this is what they do, is they fracture the mind until they can't take anymore, and the mind fractures and splits, and then from there, they can easily program parts of the mind for what they want, like a Manchurian candidate almost, you know, and they can activate that and trigger with certain symbols and certain words throughout that candidate's life. They have a handler, and their handler can trigger them at any time, anywhere. And there was a recent, and they call these people super soldiers. They are my lab abductees. And there was a recent death of a guy named Max Spears, who was rumored to be a target of this guy, Michael Aquino. And I don't even like mentioning the guy's name, Michael, but he's Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino. Excuse me. But yes, he's into dark draconian magic. And I had a dream of him confronting Robert Stanley while he was meditating. And when I said that to Robert, he kind of confirmed that guy doesn't like him as well, and that guy has it out for him. So it was pretty crazy when it all worked together like that. So these MyLab abductions are really frightening. I see the Ceiling Cat is in the chat room. Would you like a reading before we close, Ceiling Cat? How about it? Yes, no, maybe, so. I guess not. She didn't answer. Or he didn't answer. I think it's a she. Sure, she does want a reading. Okay, cool. Before we close, we'll do one last reading. Cleansing my cards. Usually one will pop right out on me. We call our spirit guides the Grigori. In the Strega beliefs, they're called the Grigori. And they watch over all magical practices and they guard entrances to all the portals. And when you're initiated, in the craft, they are there watching and they are there to guide you. And these beings, they cannot be contacted. They find you when it's time. You cannot ask them questions because it never turns out well. It happened to... Ooh. Well, Ceiling Cat. Can't be all bad. Don't worry. I don't want to... you got the Curses card. Now, the Curses card can be one of many things. You just need to take responsibility for the energy you send out. This is not, don't think of it as bad, because these are my oracle cards, and they're all positive affirmations. I do not believe in negative readings like that. So, do not think of it as a curse. It's called the Maledicta card in the Strega. Just be aware of the energy you're sending out, sweetie, because every action causes a reaction. An issue can be reconciled with love and understanding rather than with hatred and revenge. Someone may have cast negative energy upon you, or you may have without knowing, within you, a pattern you need to break. You may have done it yourself. Wormwood and rosary, blood, garlic, and rue reflect the harm that comes to me and send it back to you. The evil eye it watches, the evil eye I turn, mirror it back whence it came, and the evil will I burn. Evidence of curses, or as they are referred to in Latin, maledictum, they've been discovered as far back as the ancient Etruscans, which is my roots. However, the witchcraft traditions of the Romans, Babylonians, Egyptians, primitive African societies, even the Dogon, it is not universal to all craft traditions. Even when it is included, it's not always used for negative purposes. For instance, some curses are reflective in nature. They mirror negative energy back to whence it came. To the Strega, both the existence of evil itself and the evil eye, the Malocchio, like I discussed before. If you're just tuning in, it's the evil eye you can get just from a glance from somebody on the street, which can give you negative energy and literally give you a sty in your eye. And it can be cast deliberately or even accidentally. When someone stares too long or overzealous compliments a newborn child or a bride or someone who has gained much success, especially if the person giving the compliment is feeling jealous, they may inadvertently cast this evil eye. And I have the eye of Ra tattooed on my back to always watch my back and protect me. And the Strega, we have many charms and spells to dispose to ward off the evil eye, to punish those who wield it. One of these, the hand gesture, known as the cornicello, is still used today. Charms featuring both the evil eye and the cornicello can be bought in almost any jewelry store in Italy. The evil eye can be used to protect the wearer. This use is believed, adapted from what I'm saying, the Egyptian, you know, the eye of Horus, or reflected in the mirror is the eye of Ra. When considering the use of curses, keep these two keys in mind. A curse is a powerful energy that can backfire on the caster. I do not believe in curses. This is not the intention of spells. Spells is to heal, is to help. Second, as witches, or those who utilize the guidance of witches, we must be extremely mindful of the power and consequences of magic of all kinds, ladies and gentlemen, especially curses. Like I am saying, these Grigori, our spirit guides, they watch over all of our magical practices, and we need to take full responsibility for the outcome of such magic and seek ways other than cursing to influence situations. After all, interfering with free will is considered a kind of black magic. My name is Ra. This is Spiral Radio. You can get me on Twitter at Ra_MUAY. Stay tuned for Spirited Radio. And then we got Strange Things coming up after that. We got a whole night of paranormal talk. I apologize for my guests not coming in. I hope I was to awaken at least one person tonight and get a few new listeners. And I hope you enjoyed our music. Part of our show is about music as well, because music is healing. I'm a musician. You can find my old stuff at myspace.com/bringthedawn. And also, I will have a website up soon for Spiral Radio. This is Spiral Radio. Spiral out.
See you.